Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report's weekly cyber report, sponsored by Northrop Grumman. I'm your host, Vago Maradian. Joining us today is Ivana Hu, the CEO of the machine learning company Omalus, that specializes in identifying and countering disinformation in real time. She's also a senior non-resident fellow at the Scowcroft Center for Strategy and Security at the Atlantic Council think tank. Ivana, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Among your important clients is the Pentagon. And as I mentioned, one of your specialty areas is real-time identification of disinformation campaigns. And you've actually uncovered a number of state-sponsored efforts to discredit leading U.S. Defense contractors. And that in turn has raised a whole bunch of questions about what's the smartest way the nation needs to respond to a threat or a challenge like this. Walk us through what you've learned and what it means.
Absolutely. And before I start talking about the incidents and the campaigns that we have monitored and tracked against the defense primes by adversarial actors, both state and non-state, I just want to take a step back and look at the broader geopolitical context, which is that we're in an era of great power competition. And so a lot of our adversaries, but especially China, has known for many years that it is very hard to go against us and compete with us in kinetic operations. And because of that, there's a great military manual that was written in the 90s by two PLA colonels that talks about, well, if U.S. is going to continue to be dominant in kinetic operations and with defense weapons systems and things like that, then what we need to get much better at is the non-kinetic, right? And so that could be looking at the supply chain, that could be looking at information warfare. And that's something that China and Russia has done a lot on. And so what we actually started detecting malign influence operations with SpaceX back in April of this year. So what I'm going to talk about is a relatively recent phenomenon. And so SpaceX in April, ahead of its historic launch with NASA, Russia really began to target SpaceX, and we found about 4,000 pieces of content coming from overt propaganda accounts belonging to the Russian state. And so one of the headlines on RT goes something like this, right? And this is an actual headline. SpaceX Starship NS3 prototype rocket crumples like a tin can as he fails the latest test. And they actually wrote the word crumples in uppercase letters. And then they, right next to the headline, they also had a video of the explosion. And so there are a lot of IO campaigns that we're picking up with our adversaries really reveling in the in the failures of launches and things like that. But you know, once the SpaceX launch was actually successful, Russia didn't really focus too much on the success of the launch, and rather it pivoted the narrative to comparing, for example, you know, the spacesuit, for example, being worn by SpaceX astronauts look very similar to the ones that the Russian astronauts are wearing on the Falcon. And this was actually done on TV Zvezda, which is a channel that's owned by the Russian Ministry of Defense. So they didn't even bother, you know, trying to hide this behind covert aliases. And very much like SpaceX, Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman and Boeing also get a lot of IO campaigns targeted against them. The primary actor for all of these campaigns is Russia by the volume of content. Mm-hmm. But China is not too far behind. And this became especially true after Lockheed Martin sold F-16 fighters to Taiwan. And China became furious about it. And, you know, since China actually owns one of the top three news sites, news pages on Facebook, they started putting out a lot of content during those days talking about how, you know, it's basically a tool of the American hegemony, etc. And what's interesting about that is sort of this connection with this correlation that I can draw from the IO campaigns to a couple of months later, China announcing sanctions against the defense primes, especially Lockheed Martin.
So why is this different from what we've seen? And what do they hope to accomplish by doing it? Because I think most Americans look at these contractors as sort of the cutting edge of mm-hmm. technology. Obviously, each one of them have pluses and negatives, depending on where we are on programs. Right? I mean, the F-35 has had successes, but it's also had some problems. And I think most people understand that in the development of advanced weapons, there are challenges. You can put aside whether or not people think, you know, more money should go to other national priorities. But at the end of the day, they're seen as, I think, generally pretty competent technology companies. What are the adversaries hope to accomplish in how they're portraying American companies?
Yeah, that's a great question. The most popular bias that we have seen so far is actually taking promotional videos from, in this case, Northrop Grumman. and they basically took the cut of like an explosion, and they basically said, look at all these companies, including Northrop, they're developing weapon systems that kill innocent lives. Look at what they're doing in the Middle East. Look at, you know, the American invasion of Iraq, et cetera. And so they're actually tying it to very sore subjects where, you know, the world doesn't perceive U.S. as necessarily positive in its actions in the Middle East. And then they're kind of just putting the two and two together into this much bigger story that may or may not be the actual truth.
And some of these contractors and things they're claiming to have done, they may not have actually done, right? This, they're just mm-hmm. creating a narrative.
Exactly. Yep.
That may be wholly untrue. So what's the way to respond to guys like this? Because disinformation campaigns, you have a mitigation part, but then a response part, right? And once a lie is let loose, it's very hard to contain that lie. Mm-hmm. How do we go about doing this?
That's a great question. I think from a DoD perspective, they actually need to do a better job protecting the defense industrial base from such disinformation campaigns who are becoming victim to disinformation campaigns. And so one way is by looking at what their colleagues at DHS is doing with CISA. CISA is working very actively with the private sector in terms of compiling a database of cybersecurity attacks that are critical to our infrastructure. But this database of cybersecurity attacks is actually one of the cutting edge and top notch databases that can be accessed by almost everyone. And it's not just DHS that's contributing to this list of attacks. It's also NSA, it's also FBI. It's really an interagency database, which is the reason why it's so unique. And I feel like some kind of a private-public partnership, you know, at DoD need to start to monitor these brands that are really critical to our national security and making sure that they are protected. And so if we can have a similar database of IO campaigns, both historical and then also any of the ongoing ones that are currently being monitored or tracked, that would be really, really critical.
What's the way to respond to deter or dissuade Russian and Chinese sources from doing this sort of thing? So the last question would be, though, are we organized the right way to counter this? Because one of the reasons CISA was created was that there were so many gaps and seams. But at the same time, it is an advisory and a warning body, right? So what can the government be doing better than what it's doing and working more closely with industry to do it? Because I think defense contractors also historically are a little bit skeptical about coming on too strong, right? So when things like this happen, even sometimes the U.S. government finds itself hard to respond, right? I mean, it's a little bit challenging because then you're like, well, the more oxygen I give this, the more attention people pay, the more real it starts to become. What does an integrated response look like, right? I mean, so I take your advice, the companies themselves who are fighting it maybe need to do a better job, but what does the macro approach need to be to fight this? Because this is, you know, as you and I have discussed many times, right? I mean, as you said in the beginning, this is a strategic weapon, and it really is a weapon because it successfully can undermine the foundational trust, you know, with the American people, with allies, partners, you know, what does a more integrated response look like?
So from the government side, I think there needs to be a little bit more authorities in terms of doing countering IO campaigns. And so right now, a lot of that's run out of the Global Engagement Center at the State Department. But a lot of, even there are a lot of authorities limitations. And so I think maybe there needs to be a line even in the NDAA saying that if you're a private sector company that's been targeted by adversarial actors, that you can have a little bit more leeway. And we will also, we the US government, you know, you can contact us to help you on an ad hoc basis. But having that consortium with that ability, I think would be tremendously helpful in terms of just better coordination.
Ivana, thanks very much. Absolutely fascinating. Look forward to having you on to discuss in greater detail. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us this week. Please be sure to go to our website and check out past Cyber Report episodes, as well as our daily and weekly podcasts. Follow us on social media and sign up for our weekly newsletter to ensure you never miss the latest defense and aerospace report commentary and analysis. And finally, a very special thanks to Northrop Grumman for their cyber sponsorship. Visit northropgrumman.com/cyber to learn more. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.